Praise the Lord, everyone. I thank God for this opportunity that He gave me to stand in the presence of His church. And I want to thank you all for being here tonight. And today, the topic that God has laid in my heart is a call to holy living. A call to holy living. And we are going to hear the verses in a few minutes from 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 13 to 25. But before I read the scriptures, I want to look to God in a small word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our Lord and Savior. Lord, as we read your scriptures and as I'm sharing, Lord, I pray that may you give the words that you want me to share, not my words, but your words. And may we be encouraged and strengthened in faith through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to read some of these verses from chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses from 13 onwards. Sorry, I did not turn this on. And it says, I'm reading from New Living Translation. So now I put the scriptures up there on the screen. Reading from verse 13. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world would begin. But now in these last days, He has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living God of Word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that the word is the good news that was preached to you. And the scripture, and I made three bullet points this evening. And the first question I want to ask, and I was asking myself, what is God's will for me? And the scriptures are so clear. And it says, God's will for me is in the verse 15 and 16, we see that. As Peter says, and when we see Peter, Peter is the person, one of the apostles, Peter. He is the person who walked on the water and had little faith and he drowned and Jesus climbed him up. He is the one, when Jesus told everybody to pray, wait for me and pray, he's the one who was asleep. And why I'm trying to see, he experienced all the, whatever the humans, as humans we experience, the challenges. that we all go through, and he encouraging us today. And as he was standing for God and being a witness, and he encourages us from his word, be holy because I'm holy. He have tasted Christ, and he encountered, and he have seen that our Lord and Savior is a holy God, and he is desiring each one of us to be holy. And here, when I focus on this verse 13 that we read a few minutes ago, and it says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. And I was going to highlight these, some of these words that this chapter from these verses, a call to holy living. A call to holy living, and it says, to what is God's will for me? To be holy. And to be holy, we need to exercise self-control. And self-control is not easy for everybody as we are living on this world. It's a challenge, but through God, through the help of Holy Spirit, we can be able to exercise self-control and put our hope in the gracious salvation. And verse 14, so you must live as an obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Bible tells us we cannot, when we encountered, when we are saved from our sin and death, we know who we are before Christ. And Bible tells us don't slip back. If you want to live a holy life, we need to remember we should not slip back to our own sinful natures and our own fleshly desires that makes us unholy. And it also, I want to highlight verse 16, for the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. And he is telling us we must be holy in everything that we do. Not just only when we are at church or when we are doing our personal prayer, but we got to be holy in everything that we do. Sometimes we understand, we misunderstand and think that to be holy, people often think, oh, I'm coming to church and I'm doing my vows of taking whatever I have to take, the communion or pray and attend or do certain things, some good things, or helping other people or helping the poor. Those are all good things, but don't misunderstand that our God is a holy God and he looks at our heart and our thoughts and our actions, and he desires and he commands us. So you must live as God's obedient children. On verse 14, we see that. So we must live as God's obedient children. And he desires from us that we got to be obedient. And we cannot go back to our old sinful nature of living our own desires. But he desires. He is desiring everyone to be holy. And it is not to be holy by yourself or myself, and it can be challenging in this world. And how can I remember to live a holy life? On verse 17, and he says, and remember, on verse 17, he will judge you or reward you according to what you do. And we often think, what is my reward to live a holy life? And we need to know that to live a holy life, he often tells like here, we must live in reverent fear for him, fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. And often when we do things on this earth, we make so many big plans that we are going to live on this earth forever. When we buy things or when we are doing things and even when we are building our homes, as we bought our home recently, we put so much thought to investigate what are the best things, or am I getting the best deal, or how is that, and thinking that we are going to live in this world forever. But to live a holy life, we have to think that this life here on this earth is temporary. And we are all here for staying for temporary. Don't give all of your heart and mind. And I personally experienced one of the things that we did, one of the examples I want to tell you, when we moved from Michigan, I was thinking that we were taking care of our car, a new car, so nicely. All of a sudden, we met into an accident, and we were all the new car that we bought, when we met with an accident, we realized that we put so much thought, and it went just like that. And here we need to understand, to live a holy life, we need to think and think our process like a temporary residence. And also, to live a holy life and understanding that this is God's will for us, it was the precious blood of Christ. On verse 19, on the same chapter 1, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And when we think of this sin that we have committed, how much sins we have done, how many times we have failed to live right, and this is only the blood of Christ and the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Somebody paid a price for my sins on the cross so that I can become holy, so that I can be as a child of God. So when we think of that, we try to pursue that, to become holy as Christ. And that is our calling, to live that holy life. We got to think, always remember who died for me, who paid the price for my sins. If Jesus wouldn't have paid the price for our sins, we would not be here. We'll be in a chaos. We'll be lost in this world. But I thank God for saving us from sin and death. And we need to remember these verses that it talks about, He will judge and reward you according to what you do. For everything that we do, there is a day that He is going to ask a question, the life that I gave you, what you have done with it. What you have done with it. And He will reward you. He will reward you for all the sacrifice that you have done, all the good things that you have done, all the persecution that you went through. To live a holy life, we often have to think like temporary residents. And we should be in a reverent fear of God. Think of God as a God where, when we are approaching the presence of God, how fearful we are. Are we reverent? And remember the precious blood of God. And Jesus Christ Himself, He set an example to us, and He lived a righteous life. Sometimes when we look at people, we think that, hey, I'm going to hold, he is my mentor, and he is going to, I want to live like this person. And all of a sudden, the person start failing or something. Oh man, I thought Christians were supposed to be like this, and it disappointed. But I often take Jesus, it's great to have, but Jesus is the great example that a person, a God who became a human, and He lived a righteous life. And He lived a holy life. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He chose us. And God's will for you and me is to live holy. And the second point I want to bring to you is, if you are a Jesus follower, we need to be set apart. We need to be set apart. We need to be different. Holiness is not only being separated from sin and worldliness, but also being set apart for God's purpose. On verse 22, it says, and some of the things, the verses I want to highlight here on verse 22. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters, and love each other deeply with all your heart. It says, you must love each other, deep brothers and sisters, deeply. And it is not easy sometimes for brothers to be at peace, but Bible tells us to be set apart. When we are called to live a holy life, and we got to be set apart, we got to be different. And that is to show sincere love to each other. And we got to do that thing. And we are supposed to do that because we are set apart and we are called by God. And here, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. And we are brought into this world. And we need to understand, one day we are going to live with him forever. One day we are going to live with him forever. We may leave this world, but there is a day that we are going to be with him forever. Think about the long-term plan. The plan that we make, often we make plans for every project. Every situation we make plans. And remember, we are called by God to be holy. That's God's will for us. And we are called to be set apart, to be different, to stand for our Lord and Savior. And he talks about how fragile our life is. He says, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. And all the flowers we see in the morning, when the rain comes, they're all gone. And that is our life. Today we are here. Tomorrow, what happens, we do not know. To anybody. So we often have to think, as the scripture says, to think like a temporary resident. You are here for temporary. And our life is very fragile. And remember on verse 25, the word of the Lord remains forever. The word of the Lord remains forever. And your life, and also the thought here about being born again. As a born again believer, what am I trying to do? Am I living a holy life? Am I living a life that God has called me to be set apart? We often want to go along with the world. We want to satisfy everybody. We don't want to offend anybody with our religious, but we got to be a witness for Christ. And we have to stand for the Lord. And it takes courage. And it needs strength and the Holy Spirit power. And we need to understand the word of the... And sometimes we think being set apart is only for the leaders or the pastors or some of the religious people. We are all called to be set apart. We are all called to be different, to stand and be a witness for Christ. It is not just for only for religious leaders or elders or pastors or other people who are doing another task. It is for everybody who put their faith in Christ to be a witness for him. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 2, and we see that you have been set apart as holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his own special treasure. And we are called to by God, and you have been set apart as a holy to the Lord your God. And Jesus is focused on your character and calling. And I was thinking about Joseph. Joseph, his brothers meant bad for him, but God has a different plan. They thought, we're going to sell him and throw him in the well, and that's the end of it. But God delivered him. God blessed him and fulfilled the plan that he made for him. Sometimes we might be in a season where we are going through a challenge. But don't give up when you are standing and being a witness for God. You might be going through a tough season, but I want to encourage you. The end result is going to be a blessing if you are putting holiness as your main goal. Like, I want, Jesus told me to be holy, and I want to pursue to be holy. And I want to be set apart and different. And you will see God's blessing. And the last one I want to mention here is, how can I become holy? How can I become holy? And it talks here, I made 3 points here. Don't resist the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, sanctification is by the Holy Spirit and is part of our conversation. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. When God's Spirit is trying to talk to you, do not resist it or say, oh, I don't want to hear that. When God is trying to communicate something with you, obey that and receive that into your heart. Often, when God is convicting us, we might be thinking, oh my God, this is going to make me uncomfortable. But when you listen to the Holy Spirit, when you welcome Him into our heart, and when we are obedient to His word, we will see how the Holy Spirit is going to sanctify us and make us holy. And commit to obedience. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, obedience is the pathway to holiness. Obedience is the pathway to holiness. And here, reading the word of God and praying and following His commandments. Commit to obedience. And the showing the obedience is reading the word of God and praying and following His commandment. How often we are praying and how often we are reading the word of God and following His commandments. And when we know those and follow those, and this is the result of becoming holy. We need to know. Sometimes we often think, this is not for me, this is for somebody else. The Bible tells, commit to obedience. And the third one, pursue Jesus. Pursue Jesus. Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. How much time we are investing to delighting? We have to delight ourselves in the Lord. Are we able to pursue Jesus? God's will as a believer, we are to be holy, not because we want to be loved by God, but because we are already loved in Christ. We love because He loved us. And the best way to show that we love God is by seeking to become holy, because He is holy. And Jesus is preparing a place for you and me in heaven. When we pursue these things, what is God's call for my life? Am I trying to become holy? Am I being set apart for God's purpose? And how can I become holy? By committing, by not resisting the Holy Spirit, but welcoming the Holy Spirit and pursuing Jesus with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And when we do this, and we will become as Jesus is holy and He desires us to be holy. And there is a reward for everybody who put their faith in Christ and follow Jesus. Because there is a time that He's going to ask everybody, what you have done with the life that I gave you. I bought you in this world with a plan and purpose. What you and me have done with the precious life that we gave. Are we stuck up with our own plans? Are we fulfilling the plan that God has called us to do? Let's look to God in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You again for one more day. And thank You for this opportunity to share about Your holiness. And Lord, I want to thank You for each one of us here. And may we surrender ourselves and all our thoughts and plans and our desires to You. And may You make us holy, O Lord, as Your followers, and help us to be set apart. And help us to follow Your commandments, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.